In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to begin with a reading from the Rock Cliff Review. This is what we call our special feature because usually in class, we're turning to the Sunday School lessons that were written by E.A. Elam. But as we begin the week, we look at a little different approach to begin that week. And since I'm the preacher at Rock Cliff, I read the old article that I have written myself for the bulletin that we pass out at Rock Cliff. And in the bulletin, for this particular Sunday, it had to do with a sermon that I was preaching that was titled, "For Thy Sake We Are Killed." But I make that not as a statement, but as a question. For thy sake we are killed? Let me explain as I read the article. Paul writes in Romans 8:35 through 36, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." That's the King James Version. Notice that the 36th verse ends with a period. All translations I have consulted end this verse with a period as well. But let me suggest with boldness and humility that Romans 8:36 should end with a question mark. Instead of saying, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter," let me add it this way. "As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter." Paul asks three rhetorical questions. I restate them below with the implied thoughts supplied. Number one, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Number two, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword separate us from the love of Christ? And number three, shall it be as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter? Where Paul says, "as it is written," he is referring to the 44th Psalm. In this psalm, the psalmist is distressed. He recalls the stories how God had been with them of old in Psalm 44, 1 through 3, and he anticipated that God would be with them again, Psalm 44, 4 through 8. But for the present, he is feeling that they are forsaken. "Thou hast cast us off and put us to shame. Thou hast given us as sheep appointed for meat. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my faith hath covered me." Psalm 44, 9-16. Though confused and shamed, to his credit, the psalmist has not forsaken his commitment to God. "All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee." Psalm 44, 17. This is where the psalmist says, "Yea, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter." Psalm 44, 22. We may feel that God has forsaken us at times. We need to consider that sometimes we bring woe upon ourselves because of our sins, but that is not always the case. Sometimes we suffer because we've done right. We read in the New Testament, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you," 1 John 3:13. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets that were before you." Matthew 5:10-12. "Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." 1 Peter 4:16. Paul wrote the saints in Rome to encourage and fortify them. Some of them would suffer tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. But that does not mean it would be as it is written, "For thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter." Paul answers, "Nay." Read it. "Nay. In all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39. We're not just sheep for the slaughter. We may suffer for righteousness' sake, but we are not forsaken. Through the depths of our trials, God loves us, and he has promised us a crown. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. The psalmist teaches us to make our appeal to God. Psalm 44, 23 through 26. And the New Testament teaches us that we will not be disappointed. We may not always understand why terrible things happen to us, but Job had it right when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job 13:15, and that's in the early portion of that verse in Job 13:15. Well, that was the bulletin in the Rock Cliff Review. And that was essentially the sermon that I preached that morning. Now we read from the Rock Cliff Review. "Because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school." And with that, we're going to return to the regular features on this program as we look at these old Sunday school lessons. I'm looking now at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared to be taught from the Sunday schools of May the 3rd, 1926, about Isaac and his wells. And we're talking about how Isaac, being a man of peace, did not contend always for his rights, but was able to forego his own personal rights for the sake of peace with his neighbors. Let me read to you from Genesis chapter 26, verses 17 through 25. "And Isaac departed thence, and encamped in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his fathers, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called them by their names, after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar strove with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Ezek, because they contended with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he moved from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now Jehovah hath made room for us, that we may be fruitful in the land.' And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And Jehovah appeared unto him in the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed in my servant Abraham's, for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he built there an altar, and called upon the name of Jehovah, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well." at the Elam's nose. Isaac opened the wells his father had dug because that was easier to dig than new ones, and they were doubtless the best place to find water. It was customary to give names to wells, and Isaac called them by the names his father had given them. Isaac dug here a new well and found streams of springing water, and so in contrast with cisterns are springing water. See, cisterns contain water that is just stagnant, just like you'd keep water in a drum, but springing water means the water is flowing at the bottom of that well. Over this well there was strife, and for this reason Isaac called this new well Ezek, that is, contention. The Philistines claimed it because it was in their country, and Isaac's herdmen claimed it because they dug it. But Isaac relinquished all rights to it for peace. And they digged another well. The hateful Philistines strove for this one also, and Isaac let them have it, calling it Sitnah, meaning hateful or spiteful. It has been suggested that some place now with propriety could be called Ezek and Sitnah, and some places Mara, Massa, and Meribah. Well, God made room. In verse 22 we read, He removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. This is called Rehoboth, room, giving the reason. For now Jehovah hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. There are two important points here. Jehovah made room in that Isaac complied with his will and avoided strife. Better to let the Lord make room for us in his own way than by contention to try to make room for ourselves. Isaac manifested the spirit of his father in yielding his preferences and surrendering his rights in order to avoid strife. Abraham gave Lot his choice of land. Isaac went from place to place. He overcame the envy of the Philistines by his forbearance and patience. He overcame evil with good. This is the teaching of the New Testament and the Spirit of Christ. To fight the devil with fire is not according to God's will. When we act as Abraham and Isaac, we may rest assured that God will bless us. He will bestow upon us spiritual blessings which will far surpass in fullness and richness all temporal blessings. Contention begets contention. Contention cannot live where there is only one to contend. To attempt to overcome evil with evil is to make two evils where there was only one at first. In overcoming evil with good, one party is always blessed, and both may be. The one who does the good is always blessed, and his course frequently brings blessings to the contending party. Good also begets good. God's law is, why not rather take wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 8. Isaac was not weak and cowardly, not lacking in physical courage, but he exercised great moral courage in refusing to quarrel with the Philistines and in yielding his rights for the sake of peace, a thing which many seem unwilling to do now. Isaac was blessed of God. He removed to Beersheba, not far from where he was. Blessed memories cluster around this place. There are at present on the spot two principal wells and five smaller ones. And on the same night which Isaac reached Beersheba, Jehovah appeared unto him as the God of Abraham his father. To the Jews, God was later called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers. To us he is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our Father who art in heaven. Having done so much to avoid strife, it must have been consoling when God said, Fear not, and gave the reason that God was with him to bless him and multiply his seed. We'll finish this in our next class.